comes. Chazere has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
I'm the usual guy that sits next to the Pag Meter, Nick Papagni, who in his terms is on location. He's actually out in the great state of Utah, Salt Lake City, with a high school sports broadcasting symposium where they've asked him to come in and speak to the kids and the ADs of Utah regarding how we do it here in California, how we pay back to the great sports and the great high school athletes and the junior high schools and the junior colleges and how we do it here at ESPN On the Rise. We want to thank Fashion Furniture for always being a part of what we like to call giving back. They've supported local community for over 50 years now, and Fashion Furniture is the home of our Rise 940 ESPN studio for both Thursday and Friday show. We want to thank the team at Fashion Furniture, and also we want to thank Chris Pacheco and our own crew of people that put these shows together, from Gonzo back in the studio to Bobby here live that helps set this gear up so I can at least manage my way through the day. We want to thank them very seriously now, because it's a lot that they do extra. They go the extra mile for us at ESPN. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. Nick Papagni, are you on the line yet?
Matty, how are you? The Pag Meter is live in Utah. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Pag Meter. You're in Utah, the great bountiful state of Utah, my favorite place. If I ever get a chance to go snow skiing, that is the place to find snow. What is the weather like?
It snowed last night, like you said. It's cold, but I love it. The people are great. Did I tell you, I think the Pag Meter is moving to Utah to start the Pag Meter rankings here, because you know what? And there was a few people that moved from California to Utah. They listened to us when they were in California, and with all the local map kind of drying up, the newspapers and everything, they really like what we do for local sports. And you, like you said on our opening, it's the greatest show in town, and that was my opening segment, and they love that.
Well, of course, I think that, you know, the thing that I like about the state of Utah, which I think, by the way, would be a good idea if you would stay back there in Utah. I'd rather run the show with you being that far away from me instead of getting a chance to see you next to me. That way I can't, you know, I won't do any more damage to you and, you know, the times I've had to put you in a headlock to calm you down. We won't have to do that as much. The part that I like about Utah, more than anything else, is they have a very, very good understanding of how to prepare their young student-athletes for not just life, but they give them the tools necessary. They have a great sports following, not just in the world of football and basketball and baseball, but they really, really help support local high school there.
Oh, they really do. And the other thing I love is the highways are 80 miles an hour. In other words, I think what they're saying is, we really don't care how fast you're going. Be careful. We're not going to give you a ticket out here in the middle of nowhere. To be responsible, because if you get a ticket going 80, you're really speeding.
I hope you're not challenging the 80 mile an hour. To me, I learned this as an early age, there's not enough time to react to something that happens bad in front of you. I think 80 mile an hour is a little too much, but hey, give them credit for the freedoms that they enjoy there in Utah.
Matt, I'm going 90 and people are passing me and looking at me like, why are you going so slow? Get out of the way. And they drive normal. That means in the left lane, they pass and they move back to the right lane. Not in California when they're going 50 in the left lane and they're starting a traffic jam. They get it here. I really like the people here. They understand the way to drive down the freeway.
Well, let me take everything back that I said really good and positive about Utah. The people there must be idiots, because let me get this straight. There's snow. There could be ice on the roads. Let's go faster. That's always a good sign of being an idiot. So I'm not going to give them any more credit because now you've got me scared about traveling in Utah when I have snowy conditions and.
I also drove Matt, I don't know, 50 miles every time, and I haven't yet to see one trash on the side of the road. So very clean freeways.
But as anything else that happens in this world, every now and then you get a story that's so sad and so tragic, but yet in a lot of ways to go moving forward, really, I think, an opportunity to teach valuable lessons, because I think Kobe Bryant in this tragic situation that just happened, I believe with the kids I'm teaching, we're learning more about this Mamba mentality and how it translates into success for all the youngsters and all the businesses in life in general. I had no idea how insightful Kobe Bryant was in his personal life and what he carried with him in that Mamba mentality.
Yeah, you sound like my wife, Lori. She's been reading the podcast and all the different things on Kobe Bryant. And she is totally in love with him now, the way he's did his life. So I wasn't the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, as you know, back when he played for the Lakers. I am a big Kobe Bryant fan now. You know, his daughter, Gianna Maria, is the same name as my daughter, Gianna Maria. I'm a huge fan of him being a great father. And I want to give the rest of the people, I know we're all talking about Kobe, but it breaks my heart to know that Gianna Maria, a little 13-year-old girl, is not going to be with us any longer. That broke my heart. Then you start thinking about your family. Maybe you're not hugging them enough. And that's what I want everyone out there in our radio listening audience, hug your family more, because you never, never know.
You never know. And let alone Coach Altobelli, or Altobelli, the great coach from Orange County, one of the winningest college baseball coaches of all time. He had to lose, not only he died, but his wife died and their daughter died along with it. And he left a son and a daughter back home. Think about that.
Yeah, he's the Kobe Bryant of junior college baseball coaching. He was that good. And it's going to be one of those moments, Matt, when you look back and 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, where were you when you found out about Kobe Bryant and that helicopter going down? It's going to be one of those moments in our life.
Yeah, I was mentioning to Bobby before the show started that in my entire life of 50-plus years, there's been iconic members, legendary status, not just in the world of sports that have passed, but this is the first time in my life that someone that large, someone that the whole world knew about, and he was at such a young age, who's passed in my lifetime. You know, Muhammad Ali passed. He was one of the great iconic sports figures that I looked up to as a kid, as somebody that was just spectacular in his nature of how he handled his business. But he was expected that at some point he would pass. I think Kobe Bryant's the first one that's ever hit me in that way. I wasn't really alive and thriving when John F. Kennedy was assassinated or anything like that. So Kobe Bryant, to me, is the first passing of someone that had died at such an early age who made such an impact in my sports career as a fan.
And I know there's probably a few more out there, but when you and I were little tater tots, Rocky Marciano, the heavyweight champion, he just retired. He got killed in a plane crash. And, of course, maybe, could be all said and done, the greatest baseball player to ever live, Roberto Clemente, died in his prime in a plane crash. So they're the only two that I know. I'm sure there's more. There's been teams. But the way – and it's just, you know, Roberto Clemente, if people want to Google him, he was maybe the greatest player ever, died when he got exactly 3,000 hits. And how about Kobe Bryant? He's going in the Hall of Fame. He could be possibly making the Hall of Fame this year, and he won't be there. That's going to be a sad, sad Hall of Fame ceremony.
Yeah, I saw Shaquille O'Neal and Charles Barkley and Kenny the Jet Smith and all that on the TNT special. I felt really bad. I mean, Shaq, you look at Shaquille O'Neal and you always see him as this lively, funny character, larger than life, literally. And to see him break down in the way he did on TNT doing the NBA special for Kobe Bryant, certainly impact. But, yes, he mentioned how hard it's going to be for him to be at the Hall of Fame ceremony to honor Kobe Bryant, and that's going to be true for the entire NBA community along with everyone else in America and the world. You're right, Nick.
Yeah, and I think Shaq didn't get any closure because they weren't the greatest friends back in the day, and I think they didn't really get their final being friends again, and that's why I think he's feeling a little sadness from that part. Like, I didn't get a chance to start a relationship again.
He did. He said that he never got a chance to really. You talked about make sure all of us from what we've learned in these type things as a family, make sure you hug your family members when you see them and make sure you tell everybody you love them and all that. I think that's what he was really getting through, is that they had enough success between them. Obviously, the NBA championships that were won while he was there with Kobe. But more importantly, I agree. I think he's feeling a sense that he never got a chance to get complete closure because they love one another. Truly, they're two peas in a pod and what they accomplished together. But I think he was feeling the fact that he didn't quite get a chance to let the rest of the world know that anything you'd heard, anything that you believed in between the relationship of Kobe and Shaq is not true. They've broke that barrier down, and the two of those guys were, as he calls him, his little brother. I felt really bad about that.
Yeah, and I really feel bad about the girls besides Gianna Maria. Outstanding basketball players. Their lives cut short because of that. They could be some of the greatest of all time. It's such a tragic story that it just brings tears to everyone. I mean, you can't stop. And I know I get a lot of emails, aren't they talking about Kobe too much? Yes and no, but you know what? He's bringing up something that, like you said, the mama mentality of work ethics and bringing us all closer together. And maybe it's a time of our lives we need this.
I truly believe that. If there is anything positive you can get out of something like this, is that everyone, thousands, millions of people are now following and learning more about Kobe Bryant and this mentality that he carried with him, the work ethic, the dependable nature that he counted on, and the accountability with his teammates, everything that he brought to the party. The young man, and I say young because he wasn't but 39 or 40, he won an Oscar. He died at 41, but when he won the Oscar, he had to have been 39, 40. That was a couple of years ago. To be so young and then to transition into a new phase of his life after basketball and win the highest honor in the world of entertainment, movies, and television, it is amazing to me that what we can learn and extrapolate for our youngsters about how to live life, how to attack your day-to-day business of living, whether it's in a sport or in business or going to school. I think at the end of all this, Mamba mentality is ringing true throughout the world right now, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And the foundation that has been set to help the surviving members is now set. But I think Mamba mentality, which is something that a lot of fans of the Lakers and Kobe knew, but I didn't know the true depth of how inside and spiritual this man was. It's quite spectacular.
Yeah, I think for me the highest honor is he was a great dad. He's coaching his kid. To me, being a great dad with your kids is second to none for me. And this is when I saw him he's coaching his kid. That's what I love about him. And I love all you papas out there that are and them mamas too, that are working with your kids, making them better people in the future is huge. I also want to say, let's give some love to the law enforcement people that pass away, risking their lives every day for us, and military, because, yes, all the emails I get, they're just as important as anyone else who passes away, and I want to make sure we all understand that. Life is precious, but I'm just saying that helicopter crash hopefully brought us all closer together.
No doubt. Well, Nick, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be visiting. We're going to catch up with Marty Bitter. He's the athletic director for Madera Unified. He's down in Long Beach right now. There's a big, as there always is, these meetings between all CIF, all California athletic directors representing each school district around California. And I've got a lot of good questions to ask him. And you'll come back, Nick. I'll call you back, get you back on live from you're in Salt Lake City, Utah. But I really appreciate it, Pagmeter. We all do, for you to take time out. We'll be back with you. But after the break, we'll catch up with Marty Bitter, and we'll continue this travel through sports locally like we always do. We'll be back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We are back. Welcome back to Fashion Furniture. I'm Matt Johnson, Matty J with The Rise. Nick Papagni, my sidekick, is in the great state of Utah handling some work with the youth and other athletic directors and sports marketing type people involved in high school and how you bring that to broadcast, whether it's radio or television. They want to get more involved like we do here in the state of California, getting a chance to broadcast these games. We'll be doing Clovis West Central High basketball this Friday on 940 ESPN The Rise. So it's important that Nick gets out there, but then again, it's also refreshing sometimes because I don't have to sit next to him and go through some of the banter that we do and get in these little sidebar arguments. It's always nice to take a break from your best buddy. But is Marty Bitter on the – do we have Marty yet?
I'm here, man.
Right now – yeah, perfect. Marty Bitter. We want to introduce the athletic director, the head of the business at Madera Unified, the great Marty Bitter. Welcome to the show, Marty.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, I know you're short. You're down south in Long Beach. You're going through, what is this, athletic directors from all the different districts around the state?
Well, actually, I'm on the state exec board, so I'm down here today for state executive board meetings. And then tomorrow is our federated council meetings, which is all 10 of our sections represented in California, where we do our business as far as from the state level, yeah.
Well, Marty, I know you've been gone just a few days. You get a chance to see, you know, great things happening in your school district. Madera boys basketball team beat Edison. I don't know if that's the first time ever, but that's a big win for Madera High basketball.
You know, that is huge. And actually, I just sent an email yesterday to Coach Lozano on the complete culture change that he's taken that team through over the last couple of years. Building up our numbers, increasing, you know, the lower level activity with some AAU activity and whatnot. And it's starting to show dividends how, you know, those kids are showing up. They're participating. They're playing hard. They're giving effort. And Madera hasn't been known as a big basketball community, but they're starting to turn it into one with, gosh, a 2-point loss to Memorial and a win against the Madera South Stallions, and then the huge upset of Edison.
Yeah, that was that is a tight game. I don't care who or what is playing or not. When you can knock off a program with, I believe, 17 Valley Championships, they are the Kentucky Wildcats of our Valley, whether anyone wants to believe it or not, because of the long-time legacy of greatness in basketball. That was a big win. Segueing into Madera Unified, now there's a new high school coming on board. Tell us about the growth of Madera Unified, Marty.
It's been great to be a part of. That is super exciting. In August, we will open up our third high school, Matilda Torres High School, and that will obviously help us balance out our numbers. You know, we would like to stay in the range of, you know, 22 to 2,500 students at each of our high schools, and right now Madera South has 3,600. So it also increases opportunities for kids. You know, we'll have a complete sports program. We're going to open up with freshmen and sophomores and build the program. We'll open up with all sports, all 23 sports. The campus is unbelievable and sells itself. I'm super excited about the athletic facilities. We have our first 50-meter pool in our community, so we can start hosting invitationals and summer aquatics events on long course and short course. It's our first 50-meter. The gym is the biggest in the section. Looking forward to hosting great basketball, but also wrestling events. We can put down 8 mats and still pull out all of our bleachers. So the facilities are going to be awesome. Football stadium should seat about between 5,500 and 6,000. Another turf field and all-weather track to host events. Super exciting and great opportunity for the kids in our community.
No question. And, Marty, with that growth, Clovis Unified went through that throughout the time from Clovis High School to the next high school, Clovis West, to the next high school, Buchanan, to Clovis East, to Clovis North. There's another school. When you do that, in your situation as the head of all athletics, Marty Bitter for Madera Unified, how much time is spent in backdoor closed meetings thinking about how is the realignment, how is the competitive equity and all that going to take shape? Because there's no secret, Clovis Unified, with now at five high schools, they really haven't had the type of domination, let's say in the world of football, my sport, like they used to have. What are the safeguards against watering things down? What type of communications do you have with the people in charge when you begin expansion for more high schools and still trying to be competitively sound in all the sports?
Well, and it is hard because, and there is a lot of behind closed doors discussions, because there's a few things I think that you want to have to think about. And competitive equity, the model that the section and the state, basically most sections in the state are going to, and I know a lot of other states are starting to going to emulate some of the things we do, is wonderful for a community like Madera. You know, where we can open up a third high school because, you know, quite frankly, yeah, your athletic pool is depleted again. And you want, in my opinion, and I think in your sports world, you know, athletics is kind of the driver of your campus culture and the excitement for kids and all those types of things. I look at three high schools as opportunity. As another opportunity for more kids to participate. You know, instead of having one fantastic football team in the community of Madera and competing at the highest level and having 50 kids on the varsity, we got 150 kids playing football because we got,
that's right.
You know, we might be down a couple of divisions. And then I also have to think about, and I try to stress the point of, you know, the benefits of, in all honesty, having coaches like yourself. And like Coach Paulinelli, and we have a whole slew of them in Madera that are transformational, that can really work. That's a much larger group of kids to work with and utilize the sport that you're coaching to transform, you know, our kids into quality young men and women and those types of things. So, yeah, will it deplete our athletic divisions? Absolutely. How do we arrange our leagues? We have those kind of communications behind closed doors. But my guess is going to be that we're going to start to see, as they have done in like the Central Coast section and a couple other sections, where we have larger conglomerate leagues. Instead of just a 6-team CMAC, maybe we take three leagues, 18 teams, or maybe even four leagues, 24 teams, and make kind of a conference. And then you divide those teams competitively. You know, so the best six teams are going to be in Conference A. The next, and it will fluctuate so that your teams are still in the same grouping, but playing like competition. And that's important for us to think about in Madera, because I know our community wants our three schools to play against each other. And
right.
Does that mean they have to be in the same league? You know, and we don't want to create a have and a have not in Madera. So we have to really pay particular attention to those little aspects so that one of our schools doesn't suffer and another get all the benefits.
Absolutely. Well said. Now, you've been instrumental in something that was introduced to me just before I came over to Madera Unified to represent Madera South, but I think it's just so beneficial, and you've kind of taken it and moved it to a new level, which we're very pleased as coaches and administrators and everyone else probably in the district. But the Inside Out Coaching Initiative, you talked about transformational as opposed to transactional in coaching. How important was that to you to continue to build this in your school district in Madera?
You know what? That's probably at my core. I think us as involved in athletics, we're competitive. We all want to win, right? I mean, that's just our nature. But I think that at my core, there's a larger, along with many, I'm not the only one, there's a lot of us that feel this way. We have a bigger mission to accomplish, and that is utilizing our sport to transform our kids. You know, we have so many kids in our district or in many districts around California and even other states that need the guidance. And, you know, they always talk about sports builds character. Well, that can be construed in two different directions, right? So we really want – that's one of our primary focuses when we're hiring our coaches. You know, obviously we want our coaches to think, you know, we want to win, and that's our goal. But winning isn't necessarily our purpose, right? Our purpose is to take these young men and young women and mold them over our 4 years through sport and competitiveness to become great fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and community members and successful in life and all of those things. And I wonder sometimes if all coaches realize the power that they have to influence, you know, our young people. And you guys as head coaches have such a high calling. And that's kind of been the mission. And I am so thankful for our coaches in Madera because, you know, we have those types of coaches. And as a parent, and you as a parent, that's the kind of people that I want my kids around. So that's kind of been the goal. And again, you know, that's at my core. That's kind of what I'm all about. You know, I want,
right.
That's kind of my mission, you know, is to utilize sport to make the world around us better.
Yeah. And the thing is, and you have a daughter and she's quite good. She plays basketball at Clovis North. And she's a great athlete, great high jumper athlete in general. When you go home at night as a family man, in the business that you're in, we're talking with Marty Bitter, the director of athletics for the entire Madera Unified School District. Do you try in your own walk of life to kind of, wow, I learned some good stuff? Because we're always learning, right, Marty? We're always learning day to day. And you can see, I don't know, I don't know you like that. I don't come home with you at night and sit down at the dinner table. But it seems like you've imparted that in your own personal life with your family. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Thank you. And I try. You know,
yeah.
We make mistakes, and you know, but I'm the dad that's always kind of researching and you know, finding these great quotes, or people will send me these little snippets, and right away I text them out to my kids. Now, you know, they might get them, ah, Dad, here he goes again with this, you know. But I think that if you keep sending it and sending it and sending it, they'll pick up bits and pieces of that. And you know, it's very, very important to me. You know, if I'm going to go to work and work on it with the kids in our community in Madera, that I also focus on that with my own kids. So, you know, my wife and I try really hard. I don't know if we're the best at it, but you know what? Every day we try. And, you know, we're blessed to have great people around us that also help us in those endeavors, along with we're very thankful for the coaches that our kids have had the pleasure of participating with, you know. They all
Absolutely.
Help in that goal.
Last question for you, Marty. Another thing I was introduced to when I came into this school district is the Mules program, which we'll be getting after tomorrow, flag football for our youth. How did that start? And just give us a quick snapshot of the Mules program in Madera Unified.
Well, Mules has, we have seven sports now, eight sports, because now we've kind of branched off, and also we've always had wrestling, but now we have girls wrestling. And,
by the way,
you know,
Marty, I was going to say, it's an acronym, M-U-L-E-S. Might want to describe that. Someone might have looked at me like, Mules, what kind of thing are they doing over there in Madera?
I think that's a big discussion in Madera. I'm sorry. Mules
yes.
stands for Madera Unified League of Elementary Schools. That's what our
yes.
elementary program is. It's for fifth and sixth graders. We do allow our fourth graders to participate in cross-country wrestling and track and field. And you know, the district and the school board has been extremely supportive in continuing to support that program. I firmly believe we need to get that program to where we're in a no-cut situation, to where, you know, we're watching our numbers continuously increase. And that's the goal, because that's where it starts for you guys up at the high school level. The program also gives our kids an opportunity, our high school student-athletes, that volunteer their time to come out and officiate our elementary games, along with our high school coaches overseeing our tournaments. And it gives them a chance to interact with, you know, the future kids that they're going to have in their program. So I think
right.
in our community, we try to stress, what I try to stress with our Mules coaches or our elementary coaches is, you know, keep more kids. Get kids into play, because it's, for a lot of our kids, many of them maybe can't afford to go play club or travel or these expensive things. This
Yes.
might be the only introduction that they get, which creates a passion for them later on. You know, they might not be able to afford 7-on-7 league or whatever. They play flag football, and all of a sudden this blossoms into this, you know, love for football, and then they continue to grow and play in middle school and get involved in that program and then continue to work their way up. So that's kind of the goal behind our elementary program, and I'm super excited to see it continue to grow, and I will be elated the day we can get to where we have stipends to have, you know, B teams and C teams so that every kid has an opportunity to participate. And what I mean by that is athletics is a connector, right? Our elementary kids are connected to school via sport, band, a choir, clubs. And for a lot of our kids, that's the reason that they come. And if we can rope them in with that, then they're going to do better academically. They're going to come to school every day. They're going to get good meals, all these things that kind of tie in with that. So that's what our elementary program is really all about. And, it takes a lot of people, and I'm very thankful for all of them that donate their time to make it happen.
Well, well said, Marty. It's great stuff. And, of course, we all, as coaches and members of your athletic team, if you will, we don't get a chance to speak like this very often. It's kind of crazy that I'm actually on a radio show doing this in front of the guy who's in charge of athletics. But I'll tell you what, it's inspiring. I'm very proud to represent your athletic department, as you said, Kenny Polinelli and all these other great coaches, Ryan Philp, the wrestling coach at Madera South, who's just one step away from winning an outright CMAC championship. All of these names you talked about, we're so proud to have great leadership from the top. We thank you, Marty, for your time. Go get some quick lunch and get back into your meetings down south in Long Beach. But we really appreciate it, Marty, taking the time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, and again, thanks for all you guys do. You guys are the ones that drive the business and do great things for kids, so we appreciate what you do, and thanks for having me.
You betcha, Marty. Be safe, and we'll see you soon. That was Marty Bitter, the head of athletics, the man in charge of the Madera Unified Athletic Programs, and they're doing wonderful things. New high school's coming online soon. Very, very good interview. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break and be right back really briefly with a guy that I went in college with, was my roommate from freshman year all the way through graduation, played professional football for 10 years, won a Grey Cup in Canada, played in the NFL for the rest of those great years, and he's going to have an insight on the Super Bowl and also, of course, his good friend, Kobe Bryant. He's a big Laker fan. We'll be right back. You're listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We are back live, Fashion Furniture. This is The Rise on ESPN. I'm Matty J, Coach Matt Johnson here. My sidekick, Mr. Pagmeter, Nick Papagni, is in Utah at a high school sports marketing symposium that they've asked him to come in and talk about radio and how we do broadcasts for local high school here in California. And at this point, it gives me a great honor, great pleasure, and all the good stuff you want to talk about to introduce my old roommate from college who had one dream in his life outside of sports and family and everything else. He was going to be doing some broadcasting, and he's done it everywhere. We're talking about what I believe is one of the great intellectuals in sport, and I think Dan Patrick of Fox Sports would agree. Mr. Sean Salisbury, how are you, Sals?
Matty, what's up? Don't leave out the best friends thing. Not some of 90% of the best times in my life have come with you, brother. So it's great to be on with you. Always a pleasure, my man, and I appreciate you having me on.
Well, before I even go any further, as best friends that we are, you're the godfather of my son, Sean, who's doing great and getting ready to get married, by the way. How much time do you have exactly?
I know you've got. You're next.
Yeah.
Grand baby, you're next, Matty.
We back? We still there, Sean?
I'm here, bud.
Yeah, I just apologize. We kind of lost a little signal right here from our Fashion Furniture studio. But listen, how much time do you have before you hit your show? Or got to get?
No, you're good. I already did my show. You know how it is on Radio Raw. I'm out here in Miami, and just, you know, when you come to this point in time, not only do you do your own show in the morning, I do Morning Drive 6 to 10 in Houston, but on Sports Talk 790. You can find it down there on the iHeartRadio app, but you know how it is. You go and people want to get insight, so you just schedule hit after hit after hit all over the country. But I got time for you, brother, so I'm on your clock.
Yes. Well, okay. You and I have spent time in the old place there in Inglewood, California. the Forum, checking out our Lakers when we were young together growing up and enjoying all-star games there and everything else. And we've always been Laker fans. You're one of the biggest. I know you had a special place for Kobe Bryant and everyone, the tragedy of this situation with family and other people that passed in that helicopter. How did that hit you, Sals?
Maddie, hard. And I've been hit twice this week. And I know a lot of people with the Kobe thing, and you mentioned the Laker thing, and I'll get to that. Also, my teammate for, what, 5-6 years, Chris Dolman, who died yesterday. And I'll start with Dolman first, Maddie. Is he, you know, we were teammates, and Dole was one of the great people and great pass rushers. He's a Hall of Famer, obviously. 2 days ago, and this is the eerie part about it, 2 days ago, he posted on Twitter and said, second year anniversary of beating brain cancer. And I sent him a message saying, I love you. I'm so proud of you and the fight you've been, you know, been through in this. And then I wake up yesterday and see the news that he's dead. And 58 years old, he was one of, think about this, and Maddie, you'll appreciate this, knowing all the great players we played with at SC, is Dolman, Hall of Famer, Keith Millard, Defensive Player of the Year, Henry Thomas, the most underrated nose tackle, who's a Hall of Fame candidate, and John Randall, who's in the Hall of Fame. Those were our guys on a front four. You think we were pretty good? So and then we had Gary Zimmerman and Randall McDaniel on the offensive line. So practice every day like we had at USC was as competitive as any game we played in. So that hit me hard. And then the Kobe Bryant thing, as you and I both know, going to All-Star games, spending a lot of time at the Forum as Jerry Buss and Laker fans. The thing that struck me the most is losing a parent. My brother at the funeral when my dad died at the memorial said, I've never been more grateful for – a terminal disease in my life. And, you know, you hesitate and say, what's he mean? And then it hits you. I got to say goodbye to my dad. And my dad loved you like family. And
as
that. And when he said that, I thought, you know, this is interesting because we did get to say goodbye to my dad. So there's two things that stuck out, aside from the fact that great basketball player, Kobe. But we all feel cheated for a couple reasons. We didn't get to say goodbye. It hit us so suddenly and unfortunately. And then I thought his second act, Maddie, it's one thing to be a great athlete that we love his game. And, you know, he had that same gene that Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Tom Brady have, that they'll cut your heart out and feed it to you. And I love that about him because all athletes want that ability to just say, I'm going to bury you and put my foot on your throat in the game. And I think in his second act, he was going to be that way, you know, with what he was doing with, you know, winning an Academy Award and winning an Emmy Award and the way he had overcome what he went through. And being a great father, as you understand about that, and being a great husband and family. And the thing that sticks out the most, he was always so attentive in the moment. When you watched him in interviews, and I was fortunate to interview him years ago, he paid attention to what you were saying. You watch him with his daughter. It's all about his daughters and about his daughter, Gigi, who passed away with him. So it hit me hard because it's any time. And when Magic Johnson, you and I discussed this years ago, when Magic Johnson came, you know, when that situation, Denny Green called us up in Minnesota during practice and brought us together. I remember where I was. You'll always remember where you were with this Kobe Bryant thing. And when it's close to home, Kobe made you feel like you knew him, even if you didn't. And as a Laker fan, I talked to Jeannie Buss about 2 days ago, left her a message, and she said she's so stunned and devastated she doesn't know what to do. So that being said, it's been a hard week. But, you know, sometimes you got to find things to smile about and the good things that Kobe did and the difference he made.
Yeah, well, and I know in your life, your background and faith and everything that you stand for, I find that now as a high school coach, as someone that is helping to transform young lives, I think the lessons that I don't know of how many people knew, because certainly he lived his life. He had that, what he called the Mamba mentality, but what did that really mean? Now we're finding out, heck, he was in a lecture hall at USC, our alma mater, lecturing to the sports science department. And Jeannie Buss was there and other guest speakers were there, but he was talking about point A to point Z on what that mentality really means. And I'm teaching the young kids that I teach, and I know you work with youngsters in your quarterback academy, on the value of what we can learn from Kobe, of how he attacked everything he was involved in.
Yeah, Maddie, great point. And it's one thing to attack that short stint we have. I played 10 years. You know, Kobe had a long, 15, 16 years, whatever it is, and an all-star, it seemed like every year but one. It's one thing to attack that, but it's another thing, if we're not teaching young people, and adults as well, hell, you and I are the same age, if I'm still not learning and learning from guys like Kobe Bryant, then shame on me. But attack that Mamba mentality, that it's such a small the things he did on the basketball. Kobe had much bigger aspirations, and whether it's female basketball, whether it's in academics, whatever it is, that mentality that you mentioned, A to Z, he has it. And to approach life that way, and the different ways he did it, and it didn't matter if he was talking to 10-year-old girls on his Mamba basketball team. It didn't matter if he was talking to 60-year-old CEOs, and it didn't matter if he was talking to basketball players who play currently. The impact that we feel from him and what he's done, and we hear Nick Saban talk about the process all the time. And Kobe, there's a process, and part of that is enjoying the journey. The destination is what we all like, the championship and hoisting the trophy. But, Maddie, think about how fleeting that is. You're Defensive Player of the Year at USC. And while that matters and will always be there, think about how quickly it comes and goes, because the next day you're thinking about, how do I do the next step? And the life lessons we learn in sports, the greatest parallel in the world from business, sports to our lives, is the greatest parallel. You get knocked down, you get kicked in the teeth, find a way to get back up. And there was a time when Kobe was kicked in the teeth, as we both know, and was able to come back and be a great parent, a great father. And the life lessons are something that 30 years from now we'll still be quoting Kobe Bryant.
Well said. We're talking with Sean Salisbury, who was actually happened to be my roommate, best friend, godfather to my son. Had a long, long career. He's still doing it in the world of sports, broadcasting, television. I'd see you. By the way, the whole deal with the robotics, our town in Madera, California, the Madera High School team won like the world championships of robotics. And I used to, and they asked me to speak before at the event to kind of showcase these kids coming back home from out of country. And I always go to the fact that, dude, you were doing BattleBots on television before anybody really knew that there was a BattleBot thing. That was pretty spectacular, listening to you. Instead of doing a football game or a baseball or basketball and all the different things you've done, you were the color broadcaster for BattleBots. How did that come about?
Maddie, I was doing ESPN, and I was hosting Morning Drive in San Diego. It was a year after my career had ended in the NFL in San Diego, and I got a call from an agent and from people they had called me because they somehow, some way, they'd seen me on, talked about it and heard my voice. And I'm not being in that area. That's what they told me, and they said, would you like a Comedy Central, who's incredible the way they treated us, called and said, well, we got about 1,500 to 2,000 people coming for an audition. Would you like to? And I said, BattleBots. And I thought, well, Comedy Central is big, but is it going to be cheesy? And I was doing television for ESPN and radio in San Diego, Morning Drive. And I said, yeah, I'll come up to L.A. for the audition. So I went up there. I had no idea what I was doing. And so I went up there for the audition, and I did something right. So I get a call about a week later saying, we want you to come back for the second audition. So I thought, okay, this is pretty cool. So I went back, and it's like, it's these rich guys who are building robots, and they're fighting robots in a cage, like MMA with robots. And I said, I'll go up for the second one. So I auditioned for the second one, and that limited the people that had been there. And I got a call a week later, said, you're our host. And I said, okay. And so they negotiated the contract, and I'm thinking, man, this is a really good gig. So I was able to do ESPN and Comedy Central, and I fell in love with it because it was the original. And did it for three seasons. Then eventually ESPN said, your schedule's too much and we don't want a conflict of interest. So I had to give it up after three seasons. But I had the greatest time on the planet. And you and I growing up talked about, hey, if you're fashion, you want to be on the cover of GQ. If you're a jock, you want to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And if you're doing broadcast, I always thought I'd be on David Letterman or Jay Leno as a Super Bowl MVP quarterback or as a broadcaster calling Monday Night Football, right? Or the Super Bowl. Well, my two appearances on Jay Leno, because he's such a motorhead, were from BattleBots. So I still, to this day, and I was scared to death going on the show, BattleBots is the two most asked questions I get in airports. John Clayton and my relationship BattleBots still to this day. So I considered it an honor, and it was one of the those things that come about, like being in Sandler movies, that I never expected, that I thought it's one of the great thrills of my life.
Well, you've obviously made great impressions on people. I listen to Dan Patrick at times, and you're a regular guest on the Dan Patrick Show on a different network. But he obviously, and by the way, I got to get this out since we go way back, way, way back. A lot of the things that Dan Patrick says, he had to have been hanging out with you a lot, because they are exact things you used to, the way you talk about. Yeah, you're a slash. actor, model, broadcast. He says terms that come right out of your lips. You guys must have spent a lot of great time together at ESPN.
Well, like you and I, Dan, were regulars. You know, I was a host on his show, co-host with him for a year. And we did hundreds and hundreds of sports centers together. And then we became great friends. Where we every Super Bowl that we covered, Dan was like you and I in college. It was he was the sidekick. I mean, we'd do everything together. We golfed together. We traveled together. I mean, it didn't matter. We'd go to the ESPN party together. It just didn't matter, or the holiday party. And like you, I can finish your sentence, and it came to the point where Dan and I could finish each other's sentence, and it's never changed. So I would probably, outside of in that building, he was probably my dearest friend. And so you know how it is. Those things stick with you. You start to say, I know Dan's, you know, you can't stop me. You can only hope to contain me. And in the process, as you know, some of my sayings that we've been saying since we were seniors in high school, Dan's used as well. So
I think Dan the other day used a, you can tune a fish, but you can't tune a piano.
Right.
And I know that was our like freshman year in the dorms together, one of your lines. I think he used that.
Yes, you could tune that piano, you can't tune a fish, and I could get an album cover. Along the line, Dan and I have discussed that. I'll just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. Now, before I let you go there, Sean Salisbury, you've been a, I believe, you know, not only are you truly one of the comedic actors of my lifetime of spending time with you, but I think what you've done is remarkable because you got the chance to do, whether it was at the highest of highs at ESPN to the lowest of your lows, which you've been very public on in your life travels. But I know one thing, King Richard, God bless him, and of course myself and the whole Johnson family, we're very proud of you because I always tell the story. You're a young guy. We met as 17-year-olds, maybe younger, when you were at Orange Glen High School and I was coming in from Castle Park in Chula Vista, California, bumping heads with each other in local high school events. But you're a guy that told someone, me, what you wanted to do in life, and you achieved all of that. I think that's special. So on the business of football and broadcasting, give us, as we close out with you for the next break, give us your best Super Bowl. Tell us what you think's going to happen and why. Sean Salisbury.
Matty, I think this is a great matchup. And I know you're in an area where it's 49er territory. I think they're the most complete team. I've thought all year long they're the most complete team in the NFL. You being a defensive guy, what's not to like? They've got a play caller that takes us back 25 years. I feel like I'm watching the old 49ers, fullback in the backfield. Tight, you know, they'll go jumbo formation. They'll spread you out. They'll RPO it. Kyle Shanahan's like Belichick, where he'll look at a game plan. They'll change it each week. And they will do, the defense does this, I'm going to do this. Andy Reid's the opposite. Andy Reid's going to call the same plays he called in week two and expect Patrick Mahomes to make plays in this game because they'll window dress it where it looks different to the defense, but they're going to do what they do. Kyle's going to say, well, they like to play single high safety, so let's throw the hitch. Oh, they're playing too deep. Let's hit the bender to George Kittle. So I love this game because it's old school, physical, punch you in the face. Can you handle us up front offensively and defensively? And then it's Kansas City. We'll throw it 44 times, which isn't usually a remedy for winning, but we'll run it 15 times. But we got a quarterback who is, Matty, he's the best urgent 2 years, 3 years into his career, 2 years started. We haven't seen the likes of this player, this who's so urgent on the team since Danny Marino. And at some point in time, he's going to be better because he's got feet that Dan didn't have. But I love the physicality. But I always, to me, a couple keys, and I'll just give them to you. One is, can the front down four put pressure on Mahomes? Not sack him, but pressure him into uncomfortability with just the down four without having to blitz. Because if they blitz and play man, Mahomes is going to hit chunk plays. And secondly, you must make Mahomes hit singles, meaning don't let him hit the home run. Let him make him hit 3 yards and 4 yards. Can he patient his way to a victory? And he's proven that he can. And on the San Francisco side, it's stick to your game plan, play action, make Jimmy hit a few plays. And I love Garoppolo. He's just overshadowed because Mahomes is so good. But if you're not physical and if you're faint of heart, the Kansas City Chiefs will get their ass handed to him. The key is Mahomes has to be the MVP for the Chiefs to win, and four different guys can be the MVP for San Francisco. I love this game because it's a great contrast, but I think they're going to have a difficult time stopping Mahomes on a regular basis, bud.
Well said, Sals. Love having you on. Look forward to hooking up with you here as we get into the spring sometime. Let's get together. Sean Salisbury, thank you so much. We're up against the break, but I love you, brother. You take care and keep doing the good things you do.
Thanks for having me on. I love you too. My best to your family, my man.
Right on. Well, you're listening to The Rise here at 940 ESPN. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and visit with Coach Derek Kuhn of Liberty Madera Ranchos Baseball, his first year, and he's got a good baseball team. We'll be back.
Here comes Chazere, has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76 all. Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rise Show. The 940 ESPN Rise Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
We are back live here at Fashion Furniture. I'm Matt Johnson, bringing to you The Rise, which is a local collection of everything from national, but more importantly, to our local scene and what's happening that's relevant out there in the world of local high school athletics, junior high, elementary school, Pop Warner. We introduced some national champion teams earlier in this last year. And right now, I'd like to introduce here from Fashion Furniture, who, by the way, the rest of the businesses in this community need to step up. Fashion Furniture has been a part of the local scene for over 50 years, and they give back to not just Fresno State, but City College, and, of course, in the world of high school sports. That's the reason we are here doing what we do. And, of course, Helena Agri Enterprises, for what they do locally for our farmers, our growers, and everything you need, it's all right there. But they've stepped up in a big way to help continue to sponsor local high school sports. Thank you, Helena. And for everybody out there listening, we thank you for tuning in. Right now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the head baseball coach of Liberty Madera Ranchos, Liberty High Baseball. They are a very, very good program. And Mr. Derek Kuhn, who's literally a local product, a great baseball prospect that came through Central High School, was a two-time All-Valley selection. He was on many PagMeter All-Star teams, played at Simpson University, was an all-conference selection as a junior, and he finished third in the program's all-time hits. So he knows a little bit about baseball. Welcome to the show, Mr. Coach Derek Kuhn.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. First year on the job. How you doing?
You know what? It's just an awesome town. It's an awesome experience. So far, I love every minute of it. It's just been an absolute honor to be the head coach at Liberty High.
Yeah, and getting a chance to talk with PagMeter, who right now is in this great state of Utah and Salt Lake City, handling otherworldly high school baseball, football experience of how we broadcast games here in the Valley. There are high schools and groups of CIF-type people, if you will, that want to know how we do it here in California. So he's back there. But Liberty High Baseball, you're a three-time section champ. You won three league titles. You didn't walk into a brand-new circle the wagons, let's build a baseball program. You're walking into a pretty good baseball program.
No, absolutely. Liberty Baseball's been a powerhouse the last 5 years, having guys like Connor Brogdon, J.J. Santa Cruz coming out there that are playing professional baseball right now. Everybody knows that Liberty High knows how to play baseball. It's a great baseball community. I'm just excited to be a part of it.
And it's all getting ready to crank up. I look at my high school, the kids about there had some weather issues early on, but now it's been pretty good, clear skies. So what is the process right now for your baseball program? Is it in the cage, kind of getting everybody's arms back to speed, or what do you do at this time of year?
So right now we're just getting ready for games. We're really getting after it in the weight room. We're really getting after it on the field. We're making sure our pitchers are in shape, making sure all our hitters are very confident, ready to go into the season, and having the ability to crush baseballs. I really like our team this year, and they're really getting after it. I'm really excited with the process we're doing right now. The guys are starting to buy in what we're trying to do and keeping that winning tradition like you talked about going, especially moving up to Division IV this year. That just means the challenges get a little bit greater and the expectations grow.
Well, when you took the job, Coach, and did you bring some assistants, or you had assistants there in your program already? Or tell us about your assistant coaches.
So right when I accepted the job, I brought my own staff. Yep. One of my main guys, he's been my best friend since I've been a sophomore at Central High School, Ryan Engelman. He played with me at Central. He was my shortstop at Central. I played second base. He was my hitting coach when I went off to college. Every time I had a problem, I came home and I visited him, and he fixed me. He's a great baseball mind. He's going to be a PE teacher, and I look to for him to continue this success story that we're trying to get going and the culture that we're trying to change, but he's one of my main guys. I also added Kevin Botorff.
Yep.
I played alongside his son at Buchanan, so his kid went to Buchanan, Tyler.
Yes.
And Kevin coached me, actually, with my dad back when we were 13 years old on a travel ball team. We had the Central Valley Braves. He coached at Madera High School back when Madera was in the track. He knows his stuff. He's unbelievable.
Yes.
It's awesome. We also added Kobe Cummings, who was also a PAG meter, All-Valley selection at Clovis North, was part of the 2013 Valley Championship team. He was a late addition add, but he's been awesome. We grew up playing together. We grew up playing against each other. He's a great baseball mind, and my pitching coach is another 2013 Valley champion, Steve Lorma. He's a great pitching mind.
Oh, yeah.
He relates well with the kids. He pitched alongside of Jack Lebowski, went to Dukes with the Rays. Matt Walker went to UCLA. Kobe, he played with them. He's a great baseball mind, and that's what I'm really excited about. The guys that we brought on all know exactly what a winning culture is like and how to develop kids and how great baseball in the Valley is formed.
Well, a tribute to you and the strength of what you've accomplished and probably who you are as a person and a coach, as a leader, for those great baseball minds to come together and say, heck yeah, we'll join you over there. It's not like they probably didn't have other opportunities. So that tells me a lot. Now, talk about your team, a young team, old team, and what's the strength, hitting or pitching, or what do you look like?
So right now, so last year's Valley Championship team, I think we lost 7 starters that were seniors. So
wow.
It was a very veteran team. And this year, we're pretty fresh. I have three returning starters by the name of Quaid Cofer, Trevor Porter, and Jackson Boucher. All three are studs. All three are captains, and we have a very young core of talent coming up. I have 3 freshmen right now on the varsity team that are all competing for starting jobs. We have 3 seniors that are also competing for starting jobs. It's just a very well-rounded group. And I think the biggest strength of our team that we're just competitors. I don't know if there's one specific pitching, infield, or anything sick that we excel at, but all these guys just compete, and they compete in the weight room, they compete in the classroom, they compete every day on the practice field. Like, they're just ready to get after it, and I really think it's going to be a war every time you face Liberty High.
Now, on your campus at Liberty Madera Ranchos, we're visiting with the head baseball coach, Derek Kuhn, of Liberty Hawks baseball. Do you have a 7th period or a 0 period? When do you get together with your baseball guys?
So we have early morning weights.
Early morning
Tuesday,
weights.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it's not mandatory. You have the option to get there. We have 13 to 15 guys get there every morning. Then we don't. It's a very small school. We only have 2 PE teachers,
yep.
So there's no 6 period PE. So right after school, you sprint out to the baseball field. We
yeah.
get to work.
Yeah.
We do not have lights yet, so that's kind of a struggle, but we find ways to be productive with that 2 hours that we do have and get after it.
Well, someone like myself who's mainly a football guy, and PAG meter always reminds you about my level of experience in baseball. But you mentioned lifting weights. What kind of lifting does a baseball player do? Is it different? Is it Olympic power lifting, or is it really functional? Like, I know at Edison High School when I was there, we just purchased a machine that you could actually put the bat handle onto, and it gives you resistance. And what type of lifting do you do as a baseball player?
Absolutely. We're not trained to lift 300 pounds like
yep.
an offensive lineman.
Right.
We're doing a lot of feel stuff. So a big thing I like to do with our guys, we have medicine balls, and we throw them as hard as we can into a wall
yep.
to get our back hips involved, using the baseball muscles. A lot of high reps, low weight, especially when season is getting going.
Yeah.
But we're not lifting like football, a bunch of heavy weights. We're not hard on our shoulders. Just being smart of what I've learned from people in the past and what I ask, what can we be doing? What can we be doing right here to make sure our guys are getting as strong as possible and staying away from injury?
Yeah, yeah. Now, you went off to college at Simpson University. Tell me about that experience.
You know,
Can you get a little homesick, or what was the deal?
Yes. After Central, I was fortunate enough to have a great career at Central. I played under Jeff Prieto, and I was all set to go to Reedley JC. And I got a call from Dan Tatum, the recruiting coordinator from Simpson University, gave me a pretty good offer that I really liked, and I packed my bags and I went to Reading. And it was a great experience. I got away from home. I got to grow up as a person. I had to grow up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the baseball program was not very good when I first got
you
there.
You had to do your laundry and wake
oh,
up and
my gosh,
find
yeah,
a meal and
cooking,
figure it out. Yeah.
The cooking was something else.
Yeah, that right I hear now. You. I hear you.
But, no, it was just a great experience. The program got better every single year I was there. I found myself there. I really did. After my freshman year, about 184, I kind of had to come home and look myself in the mirror and see what I wanted to become. And after that, I was fortunate to have 3 great years at Simpson University All-Conference my junior year. And it was just an awesome experience. I loved every second of it.
And you hit the heck out of the baseball, and you had a lot of hits. Tell the listeners out there, and from your viewpoint, what makes a great hitter?
You know, it's all the mindset.
Yes. Yeah.
You can have all the physical ability in the world, and you can put on a great BP round, but baseball's a difficult game, and you're going to fail a lot. And when I realized how to handle failure and how to embrace it and taking it one pitch at a time instead of dwelling on the past as much as I did early in my career, that's when I saw my numbers take off when I wasn't even thinking about my numbers. I was thinking pitch by pitch instead of, wow, I'm 0 for 3 right now. I don't want that fourth at bat.
Yeah.
Instead, it was one pitch at a time. I'm going to win this pitch because the most important thing is right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the world of baseball, we've bantered around on this subject of signs or sign stealing and all that, and everybody's got their opinion on it. Bottom line is, as a hitter, if you had a pretty good idea what the next pitch was going to be, how much would that help, do you think?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like there's guys that you're seeing throwing 92, 94 with fantastic off-speed stuff. If you tell me what's coming, I'm going to be on time. It's going to hit a lot harder knowing that 1-1 count, I don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an unreal advantage, and yeah, it just makes you that much better.
But still, the one thing I never could understand about the whole Astros and the Red Sox, okay, so wouldn't the team just be constantly changed between the catcher and the pitcher or whatever sign they're looking at? Wouldn't they be changing those? Or in high school, to me, that would be an area where it's not quite as sophisticated, so you might be able to say, that we know that's the steal sign, or you might be able to pick it off a little easier. From a baseball mind and a player like yourself, is there any thought to that in high school? Do you guys worry about that and constantly have little colors that or signs that you give that you know are the dummy ones now, and now the live one is this? And how does that work?
You know, you do, and especially when you're calling signs and they're taking pitches very easily,
yeah.
You can tell. And once it happens 2 to 3 times, a lot of coaches switch it up. You go to your catcher and say, hey, we're going to go off this now. We're going to go off this. You have to switch it up because, like you said, you want the you don't want there to be any advantage for one side.
Yeah.
You want there to be a clear playing field. You don't know what you're trying to attack. So we just have to make sure that we're giving our kids the best opportunity to be successful. And there are coaches out there that will try steal sign. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were going to be using cameras out in center field at the high school level, but.
Yeah. you could. I mean, you could use a drone, if you will. I mean, I've seen those at my football practices. Who's watching this? Coach, on a personal note, you're obviously a very fit. And I admire that. And not just old coaches or young coaches, but you're a coach coming up. You seem like you're in pretty good shape. Art, one of our great producers of the show, has made comment, did you play any football? But you were strictly a baseball guy growing up.
I was.
Great coach Jeff Prieto, one of the best.
Yes.
Tell us about Coach and what you took from your lesson plans from him growing up that you're using now at Liberty Madera Ranchos as the head baseball coach.
You know, Jeff's unbelievable. After I got done with my college career, I was going to go coach him at Clovis North, and I was helping him out at Clovis North. And this opportunity came from Liberty, and I took it. And he was the first one to congratulate me. But I've learned so much from that guy. He's a second dad to me.
Yeah.
He's created just an absolute powerhouse at Clovis North. He's got a great team over there, great kids. And every time I have a question about coaching or every time I just have something on my mind, I know I can call him. He's been more than helpful with this experience as a 23-year-old right now. I'm new to all this. And he's been such a help. I've learned how to structure practice plans because of him. I've kind of learned my voice because of him. But he's one of the best. He's awesome. He gets it. And the kids love him. And it's going to be fun to see what that Clovis North team can do this year because they're one of the best in the Valley, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. And for you and your team, Coach, Pagney and I look forward to watching you go out there and continue the success, try to go out and get another championship as you guys did last year. But certainly, I can already tell you're one of the good guys. You're welcome here anytime. Thank you, Coach Derek Kuhn, the head baseball coach, Liberty Madera Ranchos. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back with Hoover, talking Hoover basketball, girls and boys. Thank you so much, Coach Kuhn.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Right on, brother. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
We're back on The Rise. I'm Matt Johnson. My co-host, Nick Papagni, the Pagmeter, is out in Salt Lake City, Utah. By the way, he didn't give his best story, and I do apologize. I would have loved to call him back because we got to continue with the show. We've got a lot of great guests. We're going to segue to high school basketball and talk about a very, very, very big program on the rise, literally on the rise at Hoover High School. But before that, Pagmeter's out in Salt Lake. He decided, you know what, the Houston Rockets are in town, and they're going to play the Jazz. So last night or two nights ago, he decided to try to get himself some tickets. He paid the money, found the tickets online, got to the game, and he realized right out the gate, no Russell Westbrook and no Harden. Boy, you should have heard the Pagmeter. He was devastated. If he was on set right now, he would once again be killing the NBA of this idea that these guys pay all the money to go watch and bring the kids and the family, and two of the great top 10 basketball players in the NBA didn't even suit up, as he said. So anyway, I had to say that because he wasn't happy. But speaking of basketball, it's a great time at Hoover High School right now. Athletic Director Tim Carey has clearly found himself two cultural building blocks probably forever in the two great coaches for girls basketball and, of course, men's. We're going to start with the great girls team, Ashley Shavira, a Madera alumni, the Coyotes, doing great things. Ashley, welcome to the Rise.
Hi, thank you, thank you.
You bet. It gives me, obviously, I feel good about talking with somebody who cut their teeth at Madera as a Coyote with a great basketball career in high school, and you moved around at Santa Rosa College and wound your way up in a small college out in North Carolina to come all the way back to Fresno. You did coach at Liberty Madera Ranchos, but now you're in charge of the Hoover Patriots. You're 5-0 at home, 16-6 on the year. You've got it going on in basketball over there, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have a great group of girls that, they actually deserve all the credit. So, but yeah, I mean, we're here. We're doing our thing. We're hoping to keep the streak alive here.
Well, clearly, and you're being very humble, and you're right to a certain extent. You have to have the players. But in the world of basketball and football, I guess, but in basketball, I've watched a lot of great, talented teams not achieve anywhere near where I believe they should. But you've got that team performing at a high level. Even the losses were in close contest against very good competition. What do you think's the difference in this year? What's the secret or key ingredient, I should say, for Hoover girls basketball?
Honestly, my coaching staff and I, we stress so much. It's just playing as one.
Yes.
That is, like, our motto is we are one. And, like, every day we stress it, just coming into the gym and trusting each other and just playing as one, because we tell them, you know, one person isn't going to win games. We need everybody to be here, whether you're on the floor or on the bench, or if you play 30 seconds or you play a minute or you play, you know, 20 minutes. So we're trying to build the culture where as we are looked at as there's 12 individual girls, but as one, you know, and I tell them all the time, you know, like, we're your family. Like, we come in here and we have that family mentality. So I just, like, I really, really try to stress that, you know, we care about them. We're there for them in their hard times. We're there for them in their good times. And when it does get tough, we have to make sure, you know, as a coaching staff that we come together and we're like, you know, we're fine. We got this. Now we just got to move on. You know, a short-term memory is the biggest
yes.
thing also that we talk about, is that, you know, if we lose a game, we learn from it, but we move on, you know?
Yes.
So those are the two top things that we try to stress so much here.
Perfectly said as a coach. I mean, you nailed a big part of it, which is, you know, negative things are going to happen, but it's how you respond. You've got them responding. You clearly have captivated their attention because your team is playing lights-out basketball. Ashley Shavira, we're talking with, the head basketball coach at Hoover High School girls basketball. You're in the driver's seat, or close to it, it looks like, for an NYL championship. I know there's one game at a time and all that cliche, but are you starting to really feel it? Was that one of your goals, obviously, going into the year?
Oh, definitely. That was one of our goals coming into this season. Obviously, we make team goals at the beginning of the season. We make team goals before league starts. And the one goal that we've had since last year was to win the NYL. And, you know, like you just said, it's one game at a time, but the way my girls are playing, if they continue to play like this, and we have a tough couple of games here coming up soon, but if they continue to play like they're playing and have the confidence that we have in them, I feel like it's in our reach for sure.
Well, it must be very, very great around your household. We're talking with your mother, your father, your uncles, your aunts, whatever. Coming from Madera High School, you're a great, legendary Coyote basketball player. I think you just missed the championship team, though, didn't you? They came the year or two after you?
Yeah, a couple of years after me.
Yeah, but to go off and to do what you did at Santa Rosa College and then to go to North Carolina, tell us about the experience of playing basketball in North Carolina that far away from home.
Honestly, it was the best experience I've ever could have had. I told my community college coach, which is actually at Santa Ana. I told her, I want to go the furthest I can from California, the furthest way I could. She said, okay. And, she knew a lot of coaches, and she got me over there, and it was a completely different world I walked into. But it was the best experience, and because I was exposed to so many different things and exposed to so much different culture and different basketball knowledge and having different coaches, it really shaped me to come back and, build a program or try to build a program here in the Central Valley. And that has been my goal since I was in high school. I always said that I wanted to come back to the Central Valley and build a program like Clovis West, like Craig Campbell.
Yes. Yes.
And that has always been my goal since high school. I remember saying it in my high school years, is that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go play college basketball, and I wanted to come back here and build something. Back then, obviously, I wanted to do it in my hometown. But things don't work out, and they don't work out for good reason, and I'm very happy here at Hoover, and I've realized that the things that I wanted to build, I can build here, even though it's not in my hometown. I could still build it here in Fresno, and it was just being able to experience playing down south and being able to experience playing in North Carolina has really helped me build the program that I'm starting to build here at Hoover.
Absolutely. Well said, and we're happy to have you back. At least you're in the Central Valley. Of course, Madera obviously misses you, and I'm sure, but the bottom line is you're living your dream. You're living your dream, Ashley. Talking with Coach Ashley Shavira of the Hoover Patriots girls basketball team. Let's talk about your team now. Let's give us the names and the positions and where you're very happy with the production you're getting out of your ball players.
Okay, well, so my starting five right now is Deja Holmes, who's a senior, Ashanti Hilson, who's a senior. I have Sarai Harris, who's a junior, Asia Solcomb, who's a junior, and then I have Jade Phillips, who is a freshman. And then coming off my bench, I have Samaya Smith, who's a sophomore. I have Zamara Cotton, who's a freshman. I have Inyesa Villanueva, who's a senior. Zaya Turner, who's a senior, and I think I covered everybody. I think that's everybody.
So you're not one of the pro. Go ahead, Coach.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so you're not one of the teams that carries 19 players on the bench. You go with pretty much what, 12, 13?
I have 12.
Oh, 12.
And Vanessa Alpadaca. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's
there
my last
go.
One. I have 12. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say your coaching philosophy is, you talked a little about Craig Campbell and obviously the legend that goes on over there at Clovis West, but do you copy a little bit of styles from that brand of basketball, or how do you like to play the game?
To be honest with you, I don't. He presses. He has a really good system. I like to run. I mean, yeah. I like to run. I like transitional basketball. I have a lot of talented kids. And they're quick, they're athletic. So I tend to build what I do offensively and defensively off who I have. And
sure.
With this group of girls, they can run the floor. So I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna hold them back. I'm not gonna let them sit, half court defense. I like to have them press. I like to be at full court man to man. So, I mean, I feel like the more we could pick up the pace, the more comfortable we are. When we get into like the half court set, we tend to kind of struggle a little bit. So I like to keep them going, So it's just, I, I want to get these kids running because they are athletic and they're able to score off of their own stuff. We do run a lot of five out, just basic five out motion, pass and cut, screen, stuff like that, because they all of them can score, you know. So
yes.
We do have a few set plays that we run, and they run them well. But other than that, it's more transitional. More, we score a lot of points off defense. And these past two games, these past three games, they've realized that, hey, if we play defense, we put up 60, 70, 90 points, you know. A lot of our points come off of our defense. So it's clicking with them defensively. But other than that, I mean, I just like to run a five out and just basically get them going.
Well, the thing that strikes me is what you said, which I think is right on the money. You're going to go with what you have. You've got some athletes that can run the court and you can do certain things, and that's the brand of basketball if you want to play. If you had a slower or large aircraft carrier type team, maybe you could do some things differently. But I love that. That's Don Shula, by the way. You don't even probably know who he is, but he's the legendary coach from the Colts to the Dolphins. But he did what he had. If his team had speed and ability to stretch the field, he would do that. So you're doing that. We've got a great athletic director, Ashley, and Tim Carey at Hoover High School. Has he got you involved in any other sports? Or are you exclusively basketball only?
No, I mean, in high school, I had a little stint in volleyball. And then in softball too. And then in college, I played 1 year, my senior year of softball. So I'm not involved in any other sports right now, just strictly basketball. But, you know, he is a great athletic director, and, you know, he's always been there. And even with me coming in with not as much experience as a lot of other coaches as head coaches coming into a big Division III school, he's worked with me and helped me out a lot. So, you know, I really appreciate him and appreciate everybody at Hoover.
Well, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. Obviously, the PAG meter, myself, here at The Rise, we're very proud of this. I don't want to say resurgence, but what you've done to create this atmosphere of winning basketball in your time there at Hoover High School, it's refreshing to see. You guys, your ladies are getting after it, and we look forward to seeing you make a run, maybe all the way to Cellin Arena, and Nick and I will be there calling your game.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You betcha. You take care, and we'll see you soon. Ashley Shavira, the head basketball coach of the Hoover Patriots girls basketball team, is doing great things. We're going to take a break and stay on that same school because the boys team, Tazelle Archie, the new head coach over there, is doing something really special, and they are on a run to win a section championship. We'll be back. We'll talk more Hoover basketball with the boys coach. You're watching or listening, I should say, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Colliers International, Fashion Furniture across from River Park, Emmanuel Schools, and Van Buren Insurance.
Well, guess who's back? They're back. It's The Rise. We're here back live at Fashion Furniture. Always there for us, always there for the Valley. They've been doing this for so long. I am so proud to be in any way, shape, or form associated with Fashion Furniture for all their sales team, staff, credit department, and, of course, the ownership, which is second to none. This is a true staple in our community. Please continue to support Fashion Furniture and everything they stand for, because they stand for greatness in our local high school communities, Fresno State, Fresno City College. They give back so we all can give back and bring you the great stories from the world of high school sports. And right now we're talking basketball, and when I talk basketball, there's a guy that we don't talk probably enough about here. He's the head boys basketball coach at Hoover High School. I've got a chance to watch him grow up as a kid playing at Hoover, on his way to college, played at Pepperdine, went international, all over the world, playing in Poland and Hungary and everywhere else. Gives me a great pleasure to introduce the head basketball coach for the boys basketball team at Hoover High School, Tazelle Archie. Hello, Mr. Archie.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well. I always look at you, and I see your picture, and I see you live around the Fresno, and I think, God, you're too young to be doing this. Did you just graduate high school? No, you're a grown man now in charge of the team that you used to go crazy with, the Hoover Patriots. How good is that you came all the way back home, and now you're leading the team that's on its way to potentially winning the NYL and going on to great things at Cellin Arena?
Man, to be honest, it's a dream come true. It really is. You know, like you said, you know, I feel like I came home. who was meant a lot to me, meant a lot to my family. Not only did I go there, but all of my siblings went there. So we have a long tradition of Archie's coming through Hoover, and you know, I experienced a lot of great memories while I was there, and to have the opportunity to come back, coach the game that I love, and impact these kids at this time in their life to try to recreate the experiences that I had while I was here, like I said, it's just a dream come true.
Yeah, a lot of us, obviously local, we remember you in high school tearing up the hardwood, but you're very smooth, and what an athlete. I mean, you could have excelled. Heck, if you would have just stuck with maybe and played football your whole way, I could still see you maybe still playing. I mean, you're that kind of explosive athlete. And your whole, you mentioned the name Archie. There's so many great, talented athletes, boys and girls, with that last name, Archie. You're a special, special young cat who's been doing it for a long time. You went off to Pepperdine. Tell us about your experience in college going to a campus that where the ocean, the beach. I think my school, USC, they've always tried to buy that real estate. They could just never close the deal out to put my alma mater there. What an experience being in Pepperdine. How was that?
Oh, man. Being a Fresno kid, you know, your mentality of the world, you know, at that age is as far from Jensen to Herndon. You can't really see anything past that. And so for me to be able to go out to Malibu, not to a couple visits some other places, but to be able to go out to Malibu and spend 5 years out there, I had a redshirt year right out of high school was something out of a fairy tale. You know, you see some of those TV shows and the movies that they cast out there in Malibu, and it's really like that, 26 miles of beachfront property and just an unbelievable experience. And, you know, all the different celebrities and movie stars that live in that city, and just to be out there and get that type of education and experience the things that I did through the game of basketball. And, you know, obviously being a student athlete, but I was there on a scholarship. It definitely helped shape and mold the man that I am today.
No question about it. I don't want this to be all about Coach Archie, the head basketball coach of Hoover High School, and you're having a great year. We're going to get to that, but I do want to hear a little more insight because you are such a talented student-athlete who came out of our valley, so this is kind of a double-edged interview for me at least. Then you went off and you played international basketball, and you got to travel the world and playing basketball. Tell us about that experience.
A complete eye-opener, right, coming from Fresno and then going down to Southern California, as if that wasn't a broad enough experience for me to be able to have the opportunity to play professionally overseas. And before even going overseas, I played in some semi-pro league down in Florida. So I spent two summers in Florida. Then I was in the inaugural season of the D-League back then. It's now called the G-League. And I was in Mobile, Alabama. And so to be able to have those experiences and live in different parts of the state and then go and play overseas for 8 years, had somebody told me that I would have those experiences as a kid, you know, I wouldn't have believed them. But just being able to go overseas and realize the different customs and cultures and realize that a lot of those countries have been around a lot longer than America.
Yeah.
So a lot of the things that we got over here, you know, they've been there, done that. And it was crazy because I spent a year in Holland, which is called the Netherlands, and they have a Harlem out there. They have a Harlem. They have a Brooklyn, a city called Brooklyn, a city called Harlem out there. And so little things like that, you just realize that, you know, nothing's new under the sun. And we're really not that far apart. You know, everybody's really kind of connected. And just going over there, experiencing that, seeing that, even though you could be thousands of miles apart, you know, people are people. And so I just have a broad kind of understanding of an acceptance of just different cultures and different people from different walks of life. And it's just been great for me.
Yeah, and you got by okay? I mean, there was communication. Was you worked through it, or was that the biggest hardship you felt as a player working for different basketball professional teams? Could you communicate all right?
It was tough, but you know, as long as you can, I'd always try to pick up words enough to where I could be cordial, to the people there in that country. And then obviously I want to be able to at least count so I can make sure I count my money. So I get my numbers together and then be able to understand and say the pleasantries. But for the most part, I was there to be a basketball player. So we spoke through that. We spoke through athletics and a lot of what we did was on the court. So that's pretty translatable and understandable. So I didn't have any real issues. They would always have at least one or two people in each organization that was fluent in English, and they made sure to keep them pretty close to the Americans. So, you know, it was a great experience. But I'll tell you one thing. My oldest son, he's a senior now. He started kindergarten over there in Europe in Hungary 1 year, and they taught him in Hungarian, but the teacher spoke English as well, but they actually taught him in Hungarian. So he learned a little bit of Hungarian his first year in school, so that was a neat experience.
Yeah, so he can carry that with him the rest of his life. I'm sure that's going to get him a lot of places, learning that language. That's amazing. Now, T. Archie, the head basketball coach, Hoover High School, you've had a real – I always view a team and the success of not just the players but the coach and things are starting to click. You play a team in the HIT opener, you lose to them, and it wasn't very close, really, in the score at least. Then you came back and you saw Edison again, for the HIT championship. You won that game. You've put together a pretty good crew, and you've got a great group. One of my closest friends, Walter Jackson, he goes to see these games all over the place, and he was kind of letting me in on a little bit about some of the talent you have. You've got a pretty good big man, a 6'3", 6'4", guy down low that looks pretty clean, and you've got two guards that are extremely explosive flying around. If you could cut down on their turnovers a little bit, you've got something special going on, Coach.
I think we do. I definitely think we do. And, you know, it starts with the big guy that you're talking about. That's A.J. George. He's an all-league returning player. He's about 6'4", 6'5", lefty. And, he's a beast. He's a problem. And a lot of it is they don't know how good they are. They don't know how good they are. And that's really all it was. I think I inherited a lot of talent here. And so, you know, I love to sit here and take a lot of credit for it. But these kids can play. For me, it was just raising the level of expectation for them. And getting them to see that they're capable of so much more, and then just expecting and demanding it. And then to your point with the guards that you mentioned, I got two monsters back there, and they're both underclassmen. One's a junior, Ivy Ruff. Oh, a lot of wiggle to his game. He had probably one of the strongest handles in the central section, and he can shoot it. He's a pit bull on defense. And then I got a freshman phenom, ZJ Cotton Jr. And he's just a blur, and he's just beginning to scratch the surface of what he's going to be able to do. The thing with those two guys is teaching them how to be a point guard, how to think like one, and how to run the team like one. And so they naturally, they're scorers, just like a lot of guys are in high school, and to get them to kind of slow down and be a quarterback out there, which was my forte. So I love the challenge that we have. They may not love it so much right now, but it's a work in progress, and I think we're heading in the right direction.
Now, to the nitty-gritty side of the world of basketball, and it's more in basketball than it is in any sport. Football is coming a little bit with this, and they have been for years, but this movement of players here and there, what is your big push to make sure that you keep – because I've seen a lot of great talent, by the way, that were really Hoover kids. Or there was kids from Roosevelt or Fresno High, but they always left. They went somewhere else. To keep that core, you just mentioned three names that are certainly on everybody's radar screen. What is it that you do, and how do you make sure that you keep them as Patriots and make sure that they can get everything they dream in life, and they all can get it at Hoover?
You know what? It's kind of tough. There's no magic formula to do that. What I try to do is just be honest with them, be transparent. Be consistent more than anything. You know, I've been on the job for 8 months, and since day one, everything that I said and kind of told these kids, I did my best to follow through, right?
Yes.
Just to create that type of atmosphere. When a coach says something, you know, they do it or do their best to get it done. A lot of times, you know, kids hear things from, whether it's from AAU coaches, whether it's from handlers, parents, coaches, whoever, and we'll say things to pacify kids but not really follow through with it. And a kid may not say nothing to you, but they'll take that to heart and look, hey, if they're being let down and in any other walks of their life, and then they come to you as their coach and you're letting them down with your words not matching up with your actions, that right there could turn a kid off. And a lot of kids might be prone to leave for a better situation at where they feel like, you know, the coach is going to honor his word. So first and foremost, I try to just, you know, walk that talk, right? Walk the talk, whatever I say. And I think for me, that's been pretty big. You know, in addition to that, you know, I did experience some success here, some level of success here while I was here at Hoover. And then some of the things that you mentioned as far as, you know, going to college, playing D1 overseas. So I have some experiences, some unique experiences that I think a lot of these kids are looking for. They're looking to try to attain themselves. And so to be someone who, you know, wants that for them, but can speak from firsthand experience, I think that serves me well as well. So those are kind of the two things that I lean on it to try to keep guys around in the program. But at the end of the day, you know, parents are going to make those decisions for those kids, and whatever route they choose, you know, I always have their back, always have their best, and you know, in the forefront, and just try to be as honest as I can.
Well, one thing I would add to that, which you didn't touch upon, but it's the truth, at least it is in my world, knowing you, or at least seeing you and having talks with you over all the years of just admiring your demeanor, your game. You're a pleasant guy to be around. You're a real dude. You smile a lot. You have an outgoing personality. I've seen you away from basketball, just at events and family and all that. And you're somebody that not only I would love to play for a kid, but you certainly wear it. There's an aura about you, Coach, and I'm telling you, you are right where you're supposed to be. You're doing it, and I couldn't be more proud of any individual ex-Hoover Patriot or wherever else you went to school, because I've seen you, and I can vouch for you that you are a winner. And that doesn't always translate in winning every game, but you're a winner. So those kids should feel good about having you in charge of their program, as I know Coach or Tim Carey, the athletic director, does, and everyone else in administration. I congratulate you on a great start, your first year coaching back at your old school, the Hoover Patriots. We're keeping the eye out strong on the Hoover Patriots because we like what we see out of your program. Congratulations, Coach.
I appreciate it, Matt. I appreciate those words of encouragement. And, we're going to keep pushing along and try to reestablish this culture at Hoover that I'm used to. I think we're headed in the right direction, so look out for the Pate.
I wouldn't do my job if I didn't ask you, who do you like in the Super Bowl? You've got 3 minutes,
you know what,
2 minutes.
My wife's a Niner fan, you know, so, I guess to stay out of the doghouse, I won't say anything bad about them. So I guess I'll be rooting for the Niners. I'm a Bears fan myself, so we'll keep it in the NFC and go with the Niners.
All right, Coach Archie, Hoover Patriots. Class act, we thank you so much for joining the show. We'll catch up with you later.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, you betcha. Well, that just about does it here from the fashion furniture, the palatial set of the 940 ESPN Rise, and the zone, because tomorrow you'll be in the zone. Helena Agra Enterprises, Collier's Ting International, Bowman and Associates, and all of our good friends here from Fashion Furniture, we thank you. We thank all the coaches, all the guests, too far, too many to mention. We thank you for tuning in. This has been a great show. I appreciate helping represent the great stories in the Central Valley, and there's plenty of them that are going to continue to go around. Congratulations, by the way, to Madera South Boys Wrestling Program, one step closer to hanging a banner in the gym. That's always good news out in Madera. Congratulations, Coach Ryan Philp, the wrestling coach. Well, that should just about do it from here for the Pag Meter, who was not here today. I don't know where he is. No one knows. We'll find out. He's in Utah. Just kidding. Lori, his wife. We want to thank you for tuning in here at Fashion Furniture. We'll be back. And as my sidekick, Matty J, always says, get in the game.